I'll be here with them all, and I'll die in here.
Seth. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Saturday night broadcast of History of the Police with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Welcome, everybody. Before we get on with our show, be sure that all you new just tuning in, check out our national Facebook page by typing in all capital letters in the search box, Defenders 7. Before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defenders 7. We also have a YouTube channel. Hop over there and do us a big favor and hit that subscribe button. We have a website, all lowercase letters, www.defenders2i.com. And on our site, you will find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds that we receive from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So by all means, please purchase something or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in a time of need. We're also on MeWe. Click on Community, scroll down, Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in and participate. If you're shy about calling in, we also have a chat room that is also live during our broadcast. But the number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. And I will now bring in your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. And I believe we have Miss Maria Delamain on the line also.
Yeah, I'm here. I actually called 6 minutes early because my sister's clock on her stove is set too fast.
So how's everyone doing?
Good. How are you doing?
All right, I guess. I can talk now. Yeah. So that's a plus.
I bet Pat was in his glory not being able to hear your voice.
Yeah, shut up. Nobody cares. See, here's the thing. I woke up Sunday morning sick. I started getting hoarse Saturday. I have a lot of allergies. So I'll get hoarse, go to bed, whatever, a couple hours later, and I get my voice back. But I woke up Sunday morning, I could barely speak, and I felt like I was freaking sucking on glass. and sand and concrete. Who the hell knows? So I called my boss at 9 o'clock in the morning. All right, like a good doobie that I am. Because I said, look, I'm sick. I don't know what I've got. And so I went ahead and went to the ER, to the VA. And get this. I said, I think I got strep. I'm not sure. They didn't even take me in the back. You know where the triage room is?
Yeah.
That's where they left me. And the doctor came in and saw me in the triage room. Now, okay, think about this. If COVID is so fucking deadly, right, and they take everybody in the back and this and that and the other, they left me in a triage room because they didn't want strep in the hospital. But yet COVID was so deadly.
Yep.
So, yeah, my blood pressure was high and all this. And all I had was just a sore throat. And like I said, it felt like I was swallowing glass. So, oh, and I saw a big white spot on my one of my my tonsils. So I'm like, yo, big red flag right there at strep. So here's the thing. They could not test me. They couldn't do a rapid strep test. Because the same reagent they use for your strep test, you use for COVID, for those swabs too. So he's like, and
right.
So guess what? We got to prioritize COVID. Hey, dude, I don't really don't care. He goes, but you've got all the signs of strep. So he treated me as if they had a positive diagnosis. And so what he told me was, he said, if by tomorrow, the next morning, by Monday morning, if I have already started feeling better, oh, without a doubt, it was strep. He said the feeling of glass in my throat would have to be gone almost. And I kid you not, they put me on amoxicillin, and I kid you not, I went home and took it at 10:30. By 12 o'clock, that glass feeling was already gone in my throat. I mean, I still had the, you know, dear God, I feel like I've been run over by a freaking freight train. And I still had a sore throat and still couldn't talk much, but that glass feeling was gone. I went to work the next day. Even though I still had strep, I still had to go to work. But COVID, they'll give you 5 days. Now, instead of 14, say 5. But yet, they didn't want me in the ER because they didn't want the spread, but yet I could go to work. But he said it didn't matter because once you're on antibiotics for 24 hours, no matter what it is that you have, unless you have a fever, you're not contagious. And he said, and by wearing a mask, he said it's even more preventable. So I worked 5 hours Monday, 8 hours Tuesday. Thank God it snowed on Wednesday, and I got all Wednesday off, and I didn't do shit Wednesday. And then Thursday, they're like, you guys don't have to go to work if you want because the roads are so bad. They didn't even plow half our roads. And I'm like, too late. I'm already at friggin' work anyway. So.
Well, Friday morning when I went in, by Friday morning, Illinois highways were damn near fucking clear, almost.
Oh, you're lucky.
As soon as I crossed over the Mississippi River into Missouri, it looks like these motherfuckers didn't even plow the fucking roads at all.
Well, you know, it did snow for 2.5 days, on and off. And I think they were waiting to see how much snow we were going to get before they started plowing.
Man, Illinois did a hell of a lot better job than what fucking Missouri did. I mean, the roads they were damn near fucking clear Friday morning when I came into work. They had crews out every 12 hours around the clock. They were working. But I have not taken my truck out of four-wheel drive yet. I'm still driving in four-wheel drive.
My car didn't do too bad. My little Ford, I'm impressed. It didn't do too bad. I've gone through a gallon of fucking windshield wash fluid, but because of all the salt. I mean,
what?
My car is now gray.
Yeah, my black truck is now white.
Yeah, I got. There's so much salt on my car that you can write in it. I mean, it's disgusting. But I'm gonna wait probably until Tuesday or Thursday next week to make sure, you know, everything's melted, and then I'm gonna take it to this automated car wash. You pull up. It's continuous. And they just keep rolling. Everybody, one car behind another. And you just put your car in neutral, and you go, and it washes the undercarriage. I mean, it does everything.
Oh, that's the way most ones around here are, too.
It's Timmy's. Shit, I don't know. It's an automated. It's a new car wash company. It's pretty cool.
I know where I live, we got well over 12 inches of snow.
I think we got like 6. Between 6 and 7, maybe 8, depending on where you were at. And we had a lot of snow drift with the wind, because the snow blew everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And the wind
was a bitch. A lot of snow drifts.
And see, here's the thing. Because they didn't plow the road,
the snow got compacted.
It got compacted.
I had a lot of sun drifts.
Fuck off, dog.
Ring.
Yeah, we had 3 inches of ice. Is what
We got 3/4 of an inch of ice before the snow even started.
Oh, no. This was because of the snow. People were driving on it, and it just kept packing it. And I kid you not, there's 3, 4. Yeah, I mean, it's freaking retarded. And people are doing 70 on the highway. It's like, yeah, see ya, bitch, when you're in the ditch, going out, I ain't stopping. Yeah, I'm not.
I'll tell you right now, I made quite a bit of money pulling people out of the fucking snow in my truck. My gas tank twice, but I put it through you that way. I was out in the bullshit all week long, all 3 days, fucking pulling people out.
I got to drive 30 miles to one of my patients north, right? And I see fire trucks all over the highway. I'm like, oh, shit. Must have been a bad accident. No. Well, it was an accident. We're not that kind of accident. They're building a new overpass. Oh, my God. You know when they put the big, the big concrete pillars, whatever that the road is on?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess they have to build it in pieces, and they put the wrought iron, you know, all the iron shit in there. Damn it. Well, apparently. Yeah. Well, when they were building those things, some jackass fell inside.
Wow.
And they had to use the fire truck, the ladder truck, to go up and get the guy, whoever it was that fell inside. I don't know how far he fell. but yeah. So before we get started, did you guys go over the truck convoy on Thursday? You guys talk about it?
We did a little bit, yeah. Yeah, we did talk about it.
Okay. You know they're making headway with that. They're now in negotiations with the Canadian government, and they're not backing down. They're like, well, we'll give you 13. How does the Canadian territory go? I know it's not like states and shit like that.
Provinces.
They said that 13 provinces. Okay, so they said there's like 13 provinces or whatever that will give up the mandate. And they're like, no, we said all, or we don't leave. They are not leaving downtown Ottawa until they've got, okay, here's the thing. There's thousands of truckers down that surrounded Ottawa. And it is awesome. All the people that's down there, but get this. The Amish had food for 800 people that they brought it and cooked it in negative 35 degrees in their carriages and drove it 2.5 hours.
It's not just everything.
It's also ranchers, too, that's out there on horseback.
And tractors.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, farmers have gotten involved. But get this. So GoFundMe, they set up a GoFundMe and raised $10 million. Well, GoFundMe decided, now, we're not giving it to them because you're violent protesters. So we're going to give that $10 million to a charity that we see fit. People are livid. So if you donated money to the GoFundMe account for the truckers, go ask for your money back. And here's the other reason why you need to do it. It costs them $15 per person that they have to give money back to. Hey, Kim.
Here's another piece of information I don't know if you're aware of. I think it just came out. There are, I think it's 10, maybe give or take, attorney generals from like that many states, who, including California and Florida and Texas, who are actually going to be investigating GoFundMe, because if they did this to the Canadians, who else may they have done it to without anybody realizing what they did? And this is not the first time they've shut down a conservative fundraiser, but usually they send the money back to the donators. This is the first time that we've heard, that doesn't mean they haven't done it before, but this is the first time that we heard that the only way they could get it back was to request it. Request it from GoFundMe.
Yeah, and so if you request it, it costs GoFundMe $15. So hit them in the purse where it hurts. Everybody who donated money needs to request their money to come back, because now they're saying they're going to automatically give it back to them. Fuck them. Never again. I will never do anything to GoFundMe again. So they raised $10 million. So everyone's saying there's other ways to get money and stuff for these truckers, because people are collecting food and stuff, and they're bringing it to Ottawa for the truckers. And some of the police, and all the towing companies, they've already joined into the protest now as well.
I heard the tow companies were not helping anybody that is for the truckers.
Oh, no. No. The mayor said he wants all the towing companies to tow all the trucks. And the towing companies were like, oh, no, we don't have any employees because we all have COVID. We're all sick. Yeah. So he joined.
Now that's
all of the towing companies have joined the protest. And there was a diner or something. There's a diner and there was a couple cops there, and they're talking to the truckers, and he's like, well, we've got our hands tied. We have to do this. And the truckers are like, no, you don't. You do not have to obey a non... It's bullshit. So a lot of the cops are like, you know, they get it. You know, so
and
apparently...
There's another country that's doing the convoy, too, and I believe it was Brazil.
Oh, yes, they are. Brazil. But get this. Not only Brazil. Europe. There's Sweden, Switzerland, Belgium, Norway. All of those countries are going to converge onto Belgium and do the same thing. Australia's got one going. America just started there in California, and they're taking 10 across, all the way across from California through Texas, you know, Alabama, Louisiana, all those. And they're hitting, I guess it's 95, and
they're
going straight up to D.C. Huh?
And here's something that I'm telling everybody right now. You better stock up on food while you can. Because when these truckers do this, you think the shelves are bare in your fucking grocery stores now? You ain't seen shit yet.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little FYI.
Have you seen some of the comments on some of these videos? They think that the truckers are petulant children throwing a temper tantrum. I said, seriously? Do you realize why they're doing this? Oh, that's right. You're a communist. Nobody fucking cares about what you think. And I said, if you don't side with what's going on, it's the world is waking up. And it took Canada to do it. As much as we fight with Canada, they're like the Army and the Marines. You know, they butt heads. Same thing. I don't care. I'm glad this is happening. People need to wake up and realize we outnumber these elite governments.
Yep.
So
they work for us. We don't work for them. We tell them what we want. They don't tell us.
So get this. Did you not hear? COVID is going to be gone in April. Really? How do they know? You know how I know? Because March 31st. No, listen. March 31st, do you know what's rolling out?
What?
5G. 5G.
The what?
Worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
The 5G towers are being turned on worldwide. You know what that's going to do to the airplane? Fucks up their navigation system.
Well, all I can
And the airlines
say
are
is...
begging them. Well, listen. The airlines are begging them not to do this because it's screwing up the navigation system. And all I got to say is go watch the movie Cell. And it has to do with 5G towers. And this movie was made quite a few years ago. And the people that were on their cell phones when they turned the towers on became aggressive and violent. And were killing people left and right. They weren't like, you know, like flesh-eating zombies and shit like that. But they'd already had something in them that turned them into these mindless, you know, bones. And every day, a new system, huh?
Sort of like the fucking death shot, the vaccines?
Yeah. That's so they can, and I believe that's so they can track people by all the 5G towers being turned on. But hey, that's just my conspiracy theory. So we shall see what happens March 31st. Because now they're saying, oh, COVID's going to be gone. Yeah, how do you know? Because look what's going to happen on March 31st. It's something new. And I think it has to do with the vaccines, and if it's not that, remember what we said? Well, they're going to flip those 5G towers on. It emits a signal, and it kills every single person who's been vaccinated because of whatever's in the vaccine. But, hey, well, like I said, that's just me and my conspiracy theory. Yeah. But anywho, I thought we'd go over, we can't do, I was going to do the history of the police and how they got started, but it's not going to be long enough, so I added the FBI into it. So, which is pretty cool. So, throughout the history of civilization, societies have sought protection for their members and possessions. In early civilizations, members of one's family provided this protection. Richard Ludman has suggested that the development of formal policing resulted from a process of three developmental stages. The first stage involves informal policing, where all members of a society share equally in the responsibility for providing protection and keeping order. The second stage is transitional policing, and that occurs when police functions are informally assigned to particular members of society. And this stage serves as a transition into formal policing, where specific members of the community assume formal responsibility for protection and societal control. Ludman suggests that the history of police involves a shift from informal to formal policing. Indeed, as societies have evolved from mechanical, where members share similar beliefs and values but meet their basic needs independently, to organic, where members are dependent upon one another as a result of specialization. Society's social control became more complex, whereas there's little need for formal specialized policing in mechanical societies. Organic societies require more specialization to ensure public order. Over time, organic developed into states and government. A state is defined as a political creation that has a recognized authority to use and maintain a monopoly on the use of force within a clearly defined jurisdiction, while a government is a political institution of a state that uses organization, bureaucracy, and formality to regulate social interactions. The origins of formal policing began with the organization of societies into states and governments. And a form of government heavily influences the structure of police organizations. As Langworthy and Travis have argued, since all police systems rely on state authority, the source of state power ultimately represents the basis of police authority as well. Different forms of government have established different types of police forces. Shelley suggests, and these are the writers, people that's writing the different names I'm bringing up, suggests that there are four different models of policing: communist, Anglo-Saxon, continental, and colonial, that differ based on their source of legitimacy, organizational structure, and police function. The present author suggests that the communist model of policing obtains legitimacy through the communist political party, is organized as a centralized and armed militarized force, and performs in functions of crime control and enforcement state of ideology, kind of like all your other communist countries. Cuba, China is pretty much the Their police force is militarized. I would take North Korea. Trying to think of what other countries have that that communist type policing. Sure as hell isn't Brazil and all those South American countries. There's a cartel runs that bitch. the police department does not run the police department in South American countries, that's a damn sure. there's no way. They're actually afraid of the cartel. So the continental and colonial models have similar organizational structure and functions as the communist model. However, the continental model obtains its legitimacy through the central government, while the colonial model establishes legitimacy through the colonial authority. In comparison, Anglo-Saxon model obtains legitimacy through local government and is based in law. This model is organized as decentralized force that is armed in some countries, the United States, and not in others, like England. Like in England, the courts are called bobbies. And the same thing with Scotland and in Ireland. And in England, there are three different types of police in England. They're also called the Garda. Not all the cops carry guns, believe it or not, in England. You know, you have your meter maids, the ones that go around giving tickets, all the, you know, and all that bullshit. We have those here, too. And then you have the ones that just, you know, that walk around. Not all of them, they have billy clubs. Not all of them have guns. Now, some of the cops in England, they actually have similar to AR-15. That's what they walk around with. So I was there. I thought it was pretty cool. And I thought something was happening. They're like, no, that's just a cop. So I'm like, okay, cool. And you don't come to
either. It's just like the Carabinera in Italy.
Oh, is it?
They carry around fully autos.
Yeah, you're not allowed to talk to them. They won't point that gun at you.
If they tell you to stop, you damn well better stop or they'll shoot you.
Yep. Like I said, not all the, and everyone's like, no, not one cop. Yes, they do have guns, dumbasses.
Yes.
But this is how much people don't pay attention. Finally, police functions in this model include crime control, order maintenance, and welfare and administrative responsibilities. And those are the ones that don't carry guns. You know, most of your, and here's the thing, and I kid you not, the cops in Ireland, and Northern Ireland, Ireland, and Scotland, they don't give two shits if you're speeding. They don't care. All they care about, if you have car accidents, and real crime, like robbery and the gang, because they have mafia in Ireland, believe it or not. They have the Chinese mafia, the Italian mafia, and the Irish mafia in Ireland, and they're the only ones they concentrate on. That's it. They don't care about anybody else. So, and I found this out to be true when I was over there. In this entry, a historical description of the Anglo-Saxon model of policing is presented. The changes in the mission, strategies, and organizational structures of policing through different time periods are examined. A particular emphasis is placed on the historical roots of policing in England and their influence on modern policing in America. This entry will also detail changes of American police forces since their establishment in the 1800s as organizations of social control. Current debate about recent changes in the mission, strategies, and organizational structures of police will be described in further down as we go. So early policing in England. Until the mid-1800s, law enforcement in England was a local responsibility of citizens. From 1066, the invasion and conquering of England by William Duke of Normandy, to the 1300s, police services were provided through the Frank Pledge system. Under the system, citizens were appointed with the responsibility of maintaining order and controlling crime. Men were formed into groups of 10, called a tithing. 10 tithings were grouped into 100 and were supervised by a constable. Groups of 10 hundreds create a shire, controlled by reeves. The word shire reeve is a derivative of our current term sheriff. In 1215, King John was forced to sign the Magna Carta, a document that guaranteed basic civil rights to citizens.
Are you taking callers?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to ask a question about what the defenders are doing to help back up the convoy in Quebec, I mean in Ottawa, and then maybe later on in D.C.
Bobby, that's a good question for you.
Free beer.
I'm hoping that the one in D.C. is not a trap like the last, you know, the last rallies they've had there. I'm hoping it's not a trap because that's what a lot of people seem to think. But personally, I mean, I would love to help donate money or whatever to the truckers in Ottawa. I mean, I'm in Kansas. I can't get there right now. I work every day, so. But I'm all for it, especially for the one going into D.C. I mean, they can only do so much. If you got 10,000 truckers that show up in D.C., what are they going to do, arrest them all? No. There's no way they're going to.
What they plan on doing is encircling D.C. to let it be known symbolically that they're there, that they're not going anywhere, and, again, to encircle the city. And I presume that's to let people know that, the government likes to imprison us, so we're now going to imprison them. Of course, they're planning on doing it nonviolently. But the defenders say that you guys back up the police, first responders, et cetera. So I just called them to find out what you guys were doing to back up the convoy.
As long as it's nonviolent, I'm all for it. We do back the police and the first responders. But here's the thing. We know that the police department in some areas have crossed the line and trying to follow up. You know, we know their hands are tied in some areas. You know what I'm saying? For like the mandates. But as far as like arresting people for not wearing masks and all that, no, they don't have to follow that. That's because they want to.
That's what I was about to say.
Bobby, what,
the police.
Oh yeah.
The police, if they go on boycott and strikes for higher pay, and I don't think they do that too often because I think it's against the law, then they can certainly go on strikes and boycotts against the mandates. But they haven't done it.
They can get the blue
somehow.
Blue. They cannot strike. They can't officially strike. And I'm not sure I understand exactly what you mean by support the police or even the truckers. I mean, we support them. I've actually donated another group that is raising funds for them via Sends and Go or something. It's another thing that conservatives use through another group in part. Yeah, I've donated to that for their, because one of the stops they're making is at the Arizona border. But I'm not exactly sure, I guess, what you mean by support the police. I mean, we back the police that do that uphold constitutional law, not this mandate shit. Yes, I support them. But if you mean, am I going to go and stand in front of them or something like that with a gun and defend? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm telling you right up front, no. I will cheer them on, and I will send letters and stuff, you know, if anything happens to them like we do now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you mean, am I physically going to defend somebody or am I physically going to go and – you know, stand up there cheering on the truckers? No, because to be quite honest, I'd be more of a hindrance than a help because I'm of my physical limitations. But, you know, they need people to support them with phone calls and letters and emails just as much as they need people that are going to act literally stand by their side or give them money. Not all of us can afford to give them money. I know there's some women up in Canada that – they don't really have money, but they're bringing them food. Their restaurants are closed down because of mandates. They're not making any money. They have the food anyway, so they might as well give it to the truckers since the government is not allowing anybody in Ottawa to sell them anything and accusing them of stealing food from the mouths of the homeless.
So,
what is it you're looking for us to do?
Well, I'm not looking for you guys to do anything except do what you say. So if you say, as in your description page, you back the police, you support the police, you back the first responders. One guy I talked to says that you back doctors. So when I try to get some specific information out of the guy, he tap-danced all around it. So then I just left. So I wanted to find out if you guys are making a proclamation.
You're interrupting me.
I'm going to go in a few
seconds.
And
you're the same idiot that called last week.
It's not being an idiot to call and find out what your proclamation is. Jackass.
No.
Is trying to find out what you're doing. You understand?
No, jackass.
You don't get rude with
the
caller.
One.
Hey, you with the low IQ. You can learn something. All right?
You can go fuck
yourself,
okay?
Well, you fuck yourself. I'm sure you try. In any
case,
that's what
faggot.
I called in for.
I bet you're a little Democrat little bitch.
Talk loud, you stupid cocksucker. Talk loud, proclamation of doing nothing.
Find out who I am.
Go back to your trailer park and fuck your mom. I'm going to leave because you guys aren't doing anything
worthwhile. That's why you're here.
I'd
have been your dad with this dog.
You know it. Maybe
you're
too stupid to know it. Don't try to fucking trade words with me. You don't have the fucking brains, asshole.
You ain't got the balls to come up against us, bitch.
Who are you talking to? Stop yelling.
Just what I thought.
Bobby, just mute him.
He's gone.
Oh, good. And you know, we need to just find a way to block him. I don't know what else does he want to say? Okay, listen. To anyone who had the unfortunate enough to listen to that shit, we're not a militia. We don't.
No.
We're not going to stand for violence.
That is what.
And we're not
going to
stand for violence.
That's what he tried to troll me into last week. He's the same guy.
No.
And,
I remember.
You know. He what he wants us to say is that we are a militia and that we tend to treat violence with violence. And I would not give in to him.
Okay, here's the thing, and I'm wondering what exactly he wanted. When you say you back the police, do we support them? Yes, by always saying, I got your six. And we fly our police flags, the thin blue line flags. I mean, I don't, you know, we don't, if I were to see a cop in trouble, yes, I would stop and help. I might have to get myself hurt, but you know what? I'm gonna try and help. Because I've seen quite a few videos where people were helping out some female cops because they got friggin' Bubba that's 6'5" and 400 pounds. She can't take him down.
But then, Kim, there was also that those videos where those male cops got the shit beat out of them while people just watched. So in that situation, yes, I am going to go and physically help them if I'm there. It's just I'm not going to watch anybody get beat up. I don't care who they are.
Right? No. But that's the whole point of his.
But I don't think that's what he was
calling in. He's a friggin' troll, and they troll us. Mm. And he wants us to admit, or in his own mind, admit that we will treat, you know, we will back up the police by pulling our weapons and doing what the Democrats would do. That's what he wants you to admit to, and that's why I cut him off.
Oh, I'm sure you heard what I told him. So I'll give money. I'll send email. I'll make a phone call. But I'm not, no, hell no. That's against the law.
But here's the thing. If the truckers, and I think that's a cool idea, but I don't think they should circle. I think we should park on every street, just like they're doing in Ottawa. They should just pass every single street, and they lay on those horns, and they don't stop. Because okay.
My understanding is they're not really allowed in D.C.
Who?
Truckers. I thought something that only so many trucks are actually allowed in the city at a time or something like that. I don't remember I saw
it. It's a public roadway. No. It's a public roadway, so no. Anybody could go on those streets. And I think they should go if there's 10,000 truckers, I think they should take every single one of them and line the damn Pennsylvania Boulevard, every single one on the mall. On the two long road from the White House to Lincoln, and then from the Capitol building to the other side. And just completely jam that friggin' D.C. up with, what are they going to do? Now, some antagonists in Ottawa are starting violence and saying they're truckers. See, it's just more bullshit. It's like Antifa and the BLM. They show up and pretend to be MAGA. Okay, that's just it. And so the truckers are saying, no, that's not part of them. And I say the same thing for D.C. If they show up, if they get there, that no violence should be done. All of this could be done just by showing up and saying, we outnumber you. You work for us. Now, there are cops who don't give a flying rat's ass about the Constitution, and they're only there for the money, and they could be easily bought off. I respect those zero, none. I would not help you if you were on fire. I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Okay. I have the utmost respect for any law enforcement who does their job respectfully and to the Constitution and to, you know what I'm saying, to the pledge, the oath that they take. Yes, I'll back them. But I'm done with the bullshit with this COVID mandates and all this communist crap. I'm done with it. And I think Americans need to stand up and stand together with everybody else around the world. Can we do it without violence? Yes. It can be done. But what is it they say? About what tyranny becomes. Crap, I'm having a brain fart. If it came down to a revolution, and I mean an all-out revolution, like a Revolutionary War, then yes, that's what it's going to take. But not a protest. Not at a protest, you don't. You don't bring guns and all that shit. No, there's no need in it. None at all. And so I don't know what kind of answer this jackass wants, but that's about all he's going to get. So, but if you haven't noticed, in this convoy in Canada, nothing's been looted. Nothing's been torn down, burned down. Nobody's been shot. No one's been killed. No one's been beat up. As a matter of fact, the truckers are cleaning the streets of Ottawa while they're there.
That's most of them are pretty religious, too.
Yeah. But that's just how conservatives are. But see, this is no longer a conservative and liberal and Democrat thing. This is a human rights thing.
Right, because they have liberals in there and or Democrats or whatever in their group, too. Because they were speaking out. I saw a video that had some LGB people, had some Islamic people. You know, I mean, they had people from all walks out there supporting the truckers on this video I was watching. And they're even feeding the homeless. I mean, the video, I've seen a number of videos. Yes, they did have one or two bad actors, but they called them out themselves. And some of the police were helping. They were talking to the police and everything. And then the police captain, or whatever he's called, told his officers point blank if they got caught helping or being nice to the truckers, they were going to be fired and investigated.
Well, the Canadian police, they're starting to really enforce the vaccine. I think they have until, I don't remember when, but the one guy that I watched, he's done. He's going to go until he gets fired, and then he's done.
Right.
Yeah, there's one, the guy, he walked away. He was one of the Mounties, and he quit because they were telling him he had to get it vaccinated, and he's like, no, I'm not. And so he is working with the local police, and he's explaining to why their SWAT is there, or whatever they call their SWAT team. And he's trying to explain to the people, and this is why, because you're not going to see it on the news. And he's explaining step by step what everybody's doing to make sure everybody's safe, not just the truckers, but anybody who's just going down, you know, down into Ottawa.
Did you hear about the Cowboys riding? Did you hear about the Canadian Cowboys riding into Alberta? Did you see that?
No.
Oh yeah. Well, the farmers took their tractors into Toronto, I think, or some city.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Calgary.
Yeah.
I think it was Calgary. The farmers took their tractors into Calgary. I mean, they got them all lined up. It's really cool. But Cowboys, I saw, I can share it if you want. It's only a 10-second snippet. But Cowboys rode their horses into Alberta City to join the truckers that are there. It was awesome.
Yeah,
and
this is no longer just a trucker thing.
No. No, that's what I'm saying. It is not a fringe group of people, like Justin Trudeau keeps saying.
But it's gone worldwide. It's got the attention of the world. It's not a fringe minor population of people. And that's just it. The truckers cannot back down now. If they back down now, that means they give in, and that's it. It's over. And they said, if you think Australia's bad, Canada will be locked down so tight you can't even friggin', you'll have nothing.
Right.
Well, think about it. I mean, like we were saying Thursday night, the Canadians are some of the most laid-back people in the world. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to set a Canadian on. Let's face it. Canadians are hot. But man, you set a Canadian off, and this is what you get. I mean, you know, you took some of the most laid-back people in the world and got them mad. It's like Doc Bruce Banner becoming the Hulk.
The Canadians to get pissed off, to get the world the rest of the way pissed off. Do you know, after this convoy started, that all of the UK, Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, Italy, there's like 13.
Even Brazil. Oh, my God, even Brazil.
No. They're dropping all mandates. That's it. They're done.
Yeah. Right.
Because they already see a convoy starting in Europe. And they don't want that shit to happen.
They already got.
Yeah, they're like, now we're done. Yeah, they're done. They're tired of it. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, they already have. Their supply issues are worse than ours right now. They cannot afford the truckers going on a convoy and not hauling goods for 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, hold on a second. So, it's the United Kingdom, Denmark, Norway, Finland, and Sweden, Germany, and France. They've all ended their mandate. Germany and France still have them, but it's only for adults. That's it.
Right.
They dropped it for children.
We're going to grab the babies.
Huh?
I said, yeah, that's another thing. America wants to jab the babies. You know, all these other countries stopped stopped going after people under 18 months ago. Months ago, they stopped with the, going up with the people under 18. And we're, you know, getting even worse. You know, but the Canadians, you know, it's not just about the mandates, but, you know, think about what that guy said when he got to the border and went to show his QR code, and the guy at the border said, oh, no, you're good. You popped up on my screen already.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, the Canadians are very, very upset. They're, it's not just about the mandates for the vaccines because, you know, the guy was saying over 80% of them are vaccinated. It's, I mean, the mandates, yes, that's the main thing, but there's a lot involved in it that they want gotten rid of.
They want Trudeau gone, and that's another one of their demands.
Now, let me ask you something. You know how in the prime minister, they can vote them out, a lack of confidence or something like that, similar to what we tried in, California tried with Governor Newsom. Can they do something like that with Trudeau?
I don't know. I think that they're going to – he's in hiding, and
yeah,
I think that he's going to stay that way because he's a coward. And he's a bitch. And I think him and Biden are hiding together, hiding Biden. And the little communist bitch Trudeau. And
right.
I think that's the whole thing. And I'm telling you, something's about to go down. I just don't know what it is. And it's like, I think America is the last straw. You know what I mean? All these other countries around the world, they're like, yeah, you know.
Well, here's something, Kim. Russia, you haven't really heard anything about them with, you know, the vaccine mandates or deaths or anything. Well, I don't know if you've heard this about this or not, but the first day of the Olympics, 16 of Putin's people came down with COVID, and a couple of them died. Some people in the hotel died from it. They're not sure if it was his people or other people. So,
people need to realize COVID's real. COVID, coronavirus has been around since 1931. It is common cold. Yes, I'm about to piss off a whole group of people, and I don't really give a fuck. Coronavirus is a common cold. Okay, what they've done to it is they've weaponized it. Anthrax.
They've
weaponized a lot of shit. That is why so many people have died. Because it's been weaponized.
Right.
It's no longer your average cold. Why do you think there's so many different things to try and kill it?
Yep.
And so some people's, and this is what I think, the people that are really, really sick, the ones that had other comorbidities, but then there's healthy people who got it, who died, or who've been really ill. So, like I said, I really think that, you know, and that's what's happened. And so it's going to be like the 7 vials of smallpox, oops, that we just found in storage miraculously after decades. They're going to weaponize those. And everyone who's been vaccinated, the smallpox, it won't matter. Your vaccine will be useless, just like all these freaking vaccines we have now and the 400,000 booster shots they want you to get. Do you know how – I could not tell you how many people and my patients and their family have said that they regret getting vaccinated because they regret it. Their health is failing.
More and more shit is coming out that even the CDC has to admit to. That's what I'm saying. These convoys, the Canadian one, the one that's going to be, you know, hopefully it's going to get rid of it. Hopefully, you know, it'll stop it and we will manage to save some people. But look at the 109 people that just got some kind of weird HIV. I think I shared it in the Telegram room. Or, you know, the UK is putting out there but of course mainstream media is covering it up. They're putting it out there, like you just said, that people who got vaccinated, healthy people that got vaccinated, now have a weaker immune system than before they got vaccinated.
But that's the whole point of the vaccine, is to kill your immune system.
Right.
And in one of the 400 booster shots that you get, they even said has seven strains of HIV in it.
Right.
They got proof.
Like,
all you have to do is look it up.
I know that. You know that. The people who don't do their own research trust mainstream media and the government. They're shocked. Oh, no, these people got some weird form of HIV. But it's okay. You don't need to worry about it because we can treat it. Plus, we have a new drug for it. It's like, fuck
it. Oh, did you know? Did you hear that Biden said he's going to cure cancer?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. The government needs to stay the fuck out of medicine. That's why, you know,
reasons. I hate to say this. There already is a cure for cancer. There really is.
Yeah.
They've already cured breast cancer. They have.
Yeah.
But guess
but
what?
They don't let people
know about it. Do you know how much money the American Cancer Society makes in donations and research?
Okay. I know.
That's that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Rockefeller,
if you cure cancer, do you know how many people will not die? They're trying to get rid of 95% of the population. Why the fuck are you going to cure cancer? Because it's not part of the agenda.
But it's a good excuse to get free guinea pigs and to experiment on.
No. Because they want to keep the Democrats. Want Biden or any other friggin' we all know Biden's not president. We all know it's fucking Obama. We all know he's running the puppet strings. We all know this. But it's to keep more sheep under control. Oh, look, they're going to cure cancer. No, they're not. They will never come out with a cure for cancer.
Do you know
don't get
why
me wrong.
America was considered the greatest in medical in the world, why everybody came here, because it was capitalist and business, you know, doctors and researchers, they made money. Once the government stepped in and started taking control and handing out funds and everything, we started going downhill. Once you socialize medicine, you're going to go downhill. There are enough documentaries on it to show you there'll be no more innovation. Like you said, they're not really looking to cure people. They want to kill them.
True. It makes too much money. So the last thing before we get, I got to get back into the, we're almost done with the police.
Yes.
We've already done the research. I've already done the research to prove that the reason why the different states did not want to sign the Constitution, because they already knew what they were going to do. The New World Order was planned back then. And that, they say they knew they fucked up when they created the Constitution. I've already done the research on this shit, and it's been going since then. And as they said, you done fucked up. So, anywho, the beginning of modern policing. I'm gonna see if I can get you. I don't really care about England's policing. I want to see if it comes around to America. Okay, early policing in colonial America. So the development of law enforcement in colonial America was similar to that of England during the same time period. Law enforcement in colonial America was considered a local responsibility. As in England, the colonies established a system of night watch guards. The night watch to guard cities against fire, crime, and disorder. In addition to night watch systems, there were sheriffs appointed by the governor and constables elected by the people. These individuals were responsible for maintaining order and providing other services. But there were other problems plaguing colonial cities that were considered the responsibility of police. Controlling slaves and Indians, maintaining order, regulating specialized functions such as selling in the market and delivering goods, maintaining health and sanitation, managing pests and other animals. Huh?
That was all for the police?
Yeah.
The police is, wow.
Yeah. Ensuring the orderly use of streets by vehicles, controlling liquor, gambling, vice, and weapons, and keeping watch for fires. Now, that's kind of like, you know how you have your neighborhood watch?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's the same thing. That's how it started, and then eventually it went to the modernized type. And then there's also, I can't think of who they are, but they have the Red Berets. I believe they're in New England, and I honestly, the Guardian Angels or whatever they're called.
Yeah, I remember.
They
that,
have them. Yeah.
New York.
Same
they
thing.
Have them.
While night watch groups were established in northern colonies, groups of white men organized into slave patrols in the southern colonies. These slave patrols were responsible for controlling, returning, and punishing runaway slaves. The slave patrols helped to maintain the economic order in the southern colonies. The
and
slave patrols are generally
the,
considered
that,
to be the first
the,
modern... Huh?
I said, I guess that's where they got that the police were designed to capture slaves.
But that's in the South.
I know.
The South
was,
is,
only
yeah.
one of their jobs. That wasn't what they were created solely for.
No, the slave patrols were generally considered to be the first modern police organization in this country. In 1837, Charleston, South Carolina, had a slave patrol with over 100 officers, which is far larger than any northern city police force at that time. Policing on the western frontier varied widely. According to Langworthy and Travis, settlers originally from northern colonies created marshals and police forces similar to those in northern colonies. That's why you'll notice everybody has different names for, you know, and that's how we end up with U.S. Marshals, the Sheriff's Department, Police Department, and all that. They broke it down because of area. And these groups of vigilantes were formed by volunteer citizens. Oh, hold on a second. They had developed systems with sheriffs and posses. In many Western settlements, however, there was no formal organized law enforcement. In these areas, the groups of vigilantes were formed by volunteer citizens to combat any threat to order of the settlement. These groups of self-appointed law enforcers had a significant influence on collective social norms, including the lack of respect for the law, which had been haphazardly enforced primarily through vigilante violence. In the 1800s, changes in American society forced changes in law enforcement, specifically the process of industrialization, urbanization, and immigration, changed this country from a primarily homogeneous agrarian society to a heterogeneous urban one. Citizens left rural areas and flocked to the cities in search of employment. Hundreds of thousands of immigrants came to reside in America. Unsanitary living conditions and poverty characterized American cities. The poor, predominantly immigrant urban areas were plagued with increases in crime and disorder. As a direct result, a series of riots occurred throughout the 1830s in numerous American cities. And many of these riots were the result of poor living conditions, poverty, and conflicts between ethnic groups. These riots directly illustrated the need for larger and better organized law enforcement. Both the watch systems in the North and the slave patrols in the South began to evolve into modern police organizations that were heavily influenced by modern departments developing in England at the same time. The first modern police forces in America borrowed heavily from those established in England. In particular, American law enforcement agencies adopted the mission of crime prevention and control, the strategy of preventative patrol, and the quasi-military organizational design of the first modern police department established in London. In addition to these three elements, the American policing borrowed other features from the British system. For example, the tradition that the police have some limitations on their authority. The protection of individual liberties was highly emphasized in both England and America. Therefore, limits were placed on governmental and police authority. This was not the case in other European countries. Police agencies were given broader powers, and citizens had fewer individual liberties. Another feature borrowed from the English heritage is that of the local control of police agencies. Although many other countries have one centralized national law enforcement agency, the English and American systems do not. And the American system of law enforcement, police are controlled at the state and local and federal level. Although the majority of departments are local municipalities. A related defining feature of American policing adopted from English heritage is that of highly decentralized and fragmented system of law enforcement. According to 1993 figures, there are nearly 20,000 different law enforcement agencies in the United States. Holy shit.
Wow.
20,000 different. But that's probably, you're also looking at your state parks, the federal parks, the game wardens, and all of that shit. So all of those are all under the same thing. The lack of coordination and cooperation among local law enforcement agencies is generally characteristic of the American system of law enforcement. No shit. Because not one damn system communicates with the other. Your police department does not talk to the sheriff's department, does not talk to the Sadies, does not talk to anybody. None of them communicate. Communication is a problem in every single field of employment. But the two worst ones, the medical field and the law enforcement. Nobody talks. Oh, you know what? As a matter of fact, education department, education field, nobody talks there either. The lack of these are three elements. The limited police power, lack of centralized control, and decentralized and fragmented structure. Let's see. There were differences, however, between the British and American systems of law enforcement. One of the most significant differences is the absence of strong political influences over police organizations in England compared to the strong relationship between politics and policing that existed in America, in American policing. Yeah, it's all political here. It's bullshit. While police administrators in England were protected from political influence, politics heavily influenced American police agencies. In fact, policing during the 19th century in America had been described as inefficient, ineffective, and lacking professionalism and highly corrupt. Ain't that the damn truth, because it still is. Numerous scholars have described the evolution of policing in America. Although the historical facts are generally not disputed, the interpretation of these events does raise some debate. Within this century, the evolution of policing in America will be presented, as previously noted, American policing in the late 19th century was plagued with political influence. Local politicians used positions on the police force to reward their supporters after the election. Look, guys, I don't know if you know it, but a lot of politicians will buy off police departments to keep them under control. There are some corrupt police departments that buy off, that are bought off by the drug dealers, and I'm talking about the bigger cities. I mean, that's common knowledge. Yeah, I mean,
the majority of police officers and police groups, for the most part, are good people trying to do the right thing. And I'm not going to condemn the whole because of the part. Let's just cut out the bad part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look, go look at Portland, that jackass mayor in Portland, and look at Beetlejuice and what they've done to their police department.
Oh, yeah.
They held their hands. They tied their hands, and they can't do their job right. So look at the results of it. I mean, it's ridiculous. So politics weigh heavily. Oh, isn't California who's got that new DA that's a dumbass who will not convict rioters?
Ganoche or some shit like that.
Yeah. So California is the next cesspool, which we already know is a cesspool anyway. But it's about to be the whole entire state. I'm sorry, guys. Local politicians use positions in the police force to reward their supporters after elections. Therefore, the ethnic and religious composition of the police force is often reflected in groups who had local political influence. In addition, positions and promotions on local police forces could be bought, which is what we're saying. Look at in New York City, a $300 payment to the Tammany Hall political machine was the only requirement for appointment to the force. Buy your way in. And then they could turn a blind eye for certain things. There was little to no training given to officers, no recruitment standards, and no job security because officers could be hired or fired at will. Which, honestly, that's the way it should be anyway.
Right.
A lot of jobs are like that, hired and fired at will. Kansas, I know there's a lot of states like this. Kansas is an at-will state, which means if your boss does not like you, they can fire you because they just don't like you.
With no
I mean,
reason,
honestly,
right.
I think for no reason. Now, okay, look. Honestly, you really should have a reason to fire someone. I don't know, like constantly
that
calling into work.
Most people do.
Almost always being late, not doing your job right. I mean, those should be the valid reasons right there. Oh, I'm not with it. Sexual harassment, stealing, you know, come on, guys. Your common sense thing should be the reason for anybody to get fired.
I don't know about Kansas, but in Pennsylvania, if you fire somebody, you're not allowed to tell the new employer why. In other words,
oh no, you're not. That's in any state. That's in
somebody
any state. That's a federal thing. You cannot.
Yeah. So even if
you
I
can't badmouth somebody.
Right. If they committed a crime, I think you can say something about that. But I think that's it. I don't like if they're always late. You can't say anything. It's like, so why bother calling for a reference?
Because to say, are you a are they a rehire or not? No? Okay, thank you. So therefore, it's up to your new. Yeah,
so you can still get your point across, even though you can't really say anything.
Yeah, you could say they're unequivocally a no rehire, which means it had to be pretty bad. That's all you
right.
can say at any state. That's not just Kansas. That's any state.
Well, I've never had that happen to me. I didn't know that. I just.
Yeah. I've had it happen to me, and which is bullshit because I was found innocent of all charges. It's bullshit. They said I fell asleep at work, which I didn't. They had an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they come to find out, they found out that the mother had lied of the patient,
right.
the child. She lied because she was drunk and she passed out. And the husband was just pissed off at her. And so she thought she would blame me for falling asleep, which I never did. And the state's like, okay, you're cleared of all charges or of accusations. And the company that I was working for said, it doesn't matter because it was a blight on their of their company. Fuck you! I really don't care. Then I don't have to work for your company ever again. But
right.
things like that they should not be allowed to do because it's bullshit.
No. Yeah.
Anywho, low-ranking officers, high-ranking police officials, and sometimes even entire police departments were involved in corruption and misconduct. Yes, I have seen that.
Chicago!
Whole entire... Yeah, yeah. Patrol officers often accepted bribes to not enforce laws controlling moral crimes, drinking, gambling, and prostitution. If anyone's ever seen the movie, the TV show, it's still on, Peaky Blinders. Actually the Peaky Blinders was an actual gang. There were actual gangsters back in the 20s, and they had control of the police in England. In parts of Ireland and stuff like that. They actually had control of the police, and they would pay them off. They would pay them off
and
to look the other way.
Too. New York, I mean,
yeah.
They've made movies about it. Yes, and definitely Chicago.
Especially during Prohibition.
Right.
Especially during Prohibition, the cops are bought off. Big time.
Vegas. Vegas was another one. The mob controlled the police force.
Yeah. Just like the cartel controls the police in Mexico and all of the South American countries. Police work during this time period has been described as hopelessly inefficient due to officers' reliance on foot patrol with no effective communication system and little direct supervision. Officers often evaded work due to the lack of official oversight. Yeah, back in the day, they didn't have all the, you know, all the radios and everything else.
Right,
that they needed. And, okay, so here's the thing about defunding the police. Do you know what they defund? Their training.
Cold cases.
When they defund police departments, they take the funding away from the training that they get.
Oh.
So people want to piss and moan, well, they need more training. Well, then why the freaking hell did you just defund the police? Because you just cut $1 million out of their budget. That was their annual training that they should be getting. It's not cutting the amount of cops.
I
and
didn't
so,
think about that. That's going on in the prisons, too, because there's jobs at the prisons all around here, and they're not getting trained properly.
And that's the whole thing. And people want to, and I get it. I mean, you know, if you're not going to be trained properly, how can you do your job efficiently? That's like anybody in the medical field or a teacher. You want to piss them off because they're not doing their job right, but you're not giving them the proper tools to learn their job or to better efficiently do their job. Now, and here's the other thing that the police department has going against them. Everybody's got a freaking cell phone sticking in your face. And it's like, and so instead of trying to defuse the situation, you got 20, 30 freaking criminals. Let's go. You see.
They got to second guess themselves and they wind up getting shot and killed.
It's like,
the police officers, they wind up second-guessing what they're going to do, and it actually causes more harm, not just to them, but to the criminal as well, because they're second-guessing what to do because they don't want to be charged with police brutality.
Look at these criminals who are shot, because the cops told them, get out of the vehicle or whatever. Get on your knees. Put your hands behind your head. And here's what happens. You've got these people, and I'm not, this is not related towards one race. This is related to any idiot who breaks the law and doesn't listen to the cop's command.
Right.
See, this is how their job could be made so simple. Don't break the law. Okay.
Right.
But if you break the law, you get caught. Suck it up and go to jail. And and this is how in some communities, I'm not getting on my knees for anybody. Well, guess what, bitch? You're going to get shot. then you deserve to get shot. I'm sorry. I don't care what color you are. I don't.
No, you're right.
And there's only two groups. And there's only two groups of people that's the biggest offenders of this. Black people and white people. You don't see Asians being stupid, and you don't see Hispanics being, well, not for the most part. You really don't. Unless they're in the gang. You know, the Vato Locos and the Latin Kings and all them.
But for the most part,
yeah. Yeah, and unless they're in the cartel. And what was it, the 13, what's that other gang? The 13, what the hell is it
MS-13?
Called?
MS-13?
Yeah, MS-13. Yeah. So, okay. So idiots that are in gangs and shit, you're the reason why you get shot and killed. Because you just don't comply. If you comply, get out of your car, put your hands behind your head, do whatever they tell you, you don't get shot. See,
right.
It's as simple as that. But people haven't, it's been driven into their head that all cops are bad. No, criminals are bad. For the most part, 90% of cops are good. I'd say 90%. I'm giving them a break, 90%. Because, yes, there are bad cops. And there are bad cops, and I'm not talking corrupt. I'm talking excessive force.
Right.
Okay. Yes, there are cops who do use excessive force because they like the power trip. Yeah. And in all honesty, all of those cops need to be called out, and they need to be fired, and they need to go to jail for shit like that. I don't care what color they are. Black or white, Hispanic, Asian. I don't care if you're Filipino, whatever, at 4 foot tall. I don't care. If you use excessive force, your ass deserves to go to jail. But if people would start doing what they're supposed to, you won't get shot.
Right.
And that's part of police training. So when you pull a gun on a cop, you have a split second to think, do I shoot to kill or shoot to maim? It's always shoot to kill. And if I ever hear someone say, well, they knew the risk when they signed up for the job. Okay, you're right. But Bubba Joe knew the risk of being a criminal. By being a criminal, you're going to get shot and killed. So same thing. It's a two-way street.
Right.
So, but yes, that's what I'm talking about for like when you defund the police and a lot of these and the corrections and all of that. You're taking away from their training, not from their from the amount of cops. No, you're taking away the training. Is what you're doing.
But
now,
you
in the case of Chicago,
increasing the number of police officers too, because now you've got people retiring and they're not getting replaced as quickly, or they're retiring sooner than originally planned. So they don't have, you know, any graduating. So it's not just the ongoing training. It's also the new cops.
No, I know.
You know, it's all
of
it. All
but here's
of it.
What's happening.
It's not taking from salaries. No, it's not taking from salaries.
No. And here's the other thing. Because there's so many restrictions because there's dumb freaking mayors like Beetlejuice there and the jackass in Portland. Cops are quitting. A whole police department quit.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. A couple of places.
So here's the thing. And this is what I say to anyone who hates the police. If you think you could do a better job, get off your lazy ass, go down to the police academy, and sign up, and you make a difference. Instead of pissing and moaning about it. Same thing goes for any field out there. Medical field.
Right.
If you think you can do a better job, go to school and you fucking be a doctor or a nurse. If you think you're a better teacher, go to school and become a teacher. And you teach these little heathens. I mean, it doesn't matter. If society
no,
would shut the hell up, grow up. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to jump on this little bandwagon. I don't give a shit. If you just pay me a livable wage, well, guess what? Burger flippers don't deserve a livable wage. You know why? Because that's a job for teenagers. on a teenager's livable wage is not $15 an hour.
Nope.
You have to go to school and learn. You working at fast food restaurants and department stores, that's for you to have gas for your car, if you're lucky to have one, your phone, your clothes, and shit like that. A livable wage, go get a skill. I don't care if you go to college, you go to a trade school, you go to a vocational school. You do it the way the rest of the world has done it for all of these centuries. You learn, you go. Simple as that. Do I want some bum off the street doing brain surgery on me? Fuck no. I want an actual brain surgeon. Do I want some jackass off the road to do a fireman's job? No, because there are certain things you have to go by. You have to watch out for backdraft. You have to remember all of this. Every trade has their own set of skills you have to have.
Yep.
Yes, I know I'm ranting. I know that. And it is what it is. Sorry. I know I get off on these little rants and whatever. As I said before, it's my show. Get your own. However, please do not provide.
Who's complaining? Who was complaining?
No, I'm just saying. No. I'm just saying in general. If anybody wants to complain, get your own radio show, and you can do whatever you want.
Maybe I'm something.
Huh? Oh, no. You're fine. It's something that I heard. It's something that I heard from a pastor. It's something that I heard from a pastor. Funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
However, police did provide a variety of social services to citizens, including feeding the hungry and housing the homeless. For example, White House reports that the Boston Police Department during the 1800s was responsible for a variety of public services, which included lodging the homeless, removing dirt and garbage, and checking every household daily for cases of cholera. Other urban departments also routinely housed the homeless and looked after wayward youth. So, but then that's when they went into social workers, sanitation, you know, that's how you got our the trash guys and other things. But did you know that police still will help out the elderly? I just saw a video about they keep an eye on, the neighborhood keeps an eye on this woman. She's like 90-something years old, and she wanders, and she thinks she locks herself out of her house, but she doesn't. Her door's actually unlocked. And she said her sons left her, which her sons, I believe, had passed away or something. And two male police officers, they went, they found her, brought her home, and found out she has nothing in her house to eat, no food at all. So they went and bought food for her, stocked her refrigerator. So police actually do things like that.
I've seen a lot of stories like that. Police officers buying shoes for the, you know, for the homeless or blankets. I mean, you see all kinds of stories like that. Or fixing a bicycle for a little kid. You know, they need to be putting those stories out. You know, I'm not saying
that's why
police,
I always share them. Always. Anytime I hear one about one of those stories, I will always put it out there. When my kids were growing up, when we lived in the project, these projects were townhouses, and they had spent a couple $1 million to redo all of them.
Right.
They actually had a little substation for the police department in there. And during the summer, and this was my kids' best summer ever, the cops would play football with all of the neighborhood kids. And, I mean, I see, I've seen videos where this last snowstorm, it was 6 or 8 cops, they got their riot shields, and they had a snow fight with the kids. And the kids, they beat their ass with snowballs.
They rarely give them credit for that.
I know, and that's why we need to, people need to stand up for good cops. You know, for the good things that they do. You know, so So during this time period, increases in citizen violence finally led to the adoption of weapons carried by police officers. Like I said, back in the day, they used to carry billy clubs, and that was it. The nostalgic interpretation of police as friendly neighborhood characters walking the beat has led some scholars to caution that the good old days were not that good, which is bullshit because it still is. Surprisingly, the daily duties of patrol officers during this time do not differ significantly from activities performed by patrol officers today. The diary of a patrol officer from the Boston Police Department in 1895 describes most of his time spent responding to minor problems in the neighborhood. Bullies, kids' bike got stolen by the little bully down the road. I mean, little things like that. It appears that officers during the political era spent little time handling major problems or serious incidents and rarely invoked the legal system. This is also true of patrol officers today. which is why now you'll see in the courthouse a lot more sheriff deputies than you will the police department. Because that's where you'll see the sheriff's department does all of your evictions. They subpoena you. They do all of that shit. And they, you know, when you go to jail, it's the sheriff's department usually does the jail. But yes, the police departments do have cops in for the police departments. But for the most part, when you go to court, it's usually always the sheriff's department that takes them. In the early 1900s, a broad social and political movement in America, progressivism, was bringing attention to and demanding reform across the board, the broad spectrum of social problems. Progressives believed that it was the government's responsibility to improve the living conditions of its citizens. They called for the regulation of big business and corrupt local politics, changes in labor laws, and improvements across all social welfare services. Included in this larger reform effort was the professionalization of police forces. The professionalization movement sought to reform the inefficient and corrupt police agencies that had developed during the 19th century. During this reform era, there was a total restructuring of police departments and a redefinition of the police role due to the perceived failure of the police to enforce the law. Reformers sought to eliminate political influences, hire qualified leaders, and raise personal standards. In addition, the reform agenda called for a mission of nonpartisan public service and restructuring of police organizations through the use of principles of scientific management and the development of specialized units. Several prominent police reforms had a significant influence on policing during this time period. Richard Sylvester, superintendent of Washington, D.C. Police Department from 1898 to 1915, became the national voice for police reform. He served as president of the International Association of the Chief of Police and had a significant impact on acceptance of the reform agenda across numerous departments. Similarly, August Vollmer, police chief in Berkeley, California, from 1905 to 1932, advocated the hiring of college graduates and offered the first collegiate course in police science at the University of California. Vollmer is also famous for the development of the principles of modern police administration. Advocates of the concept of administrative efficiency sought to centralize the authority within police departments and rationalize the procedures of command control. I might get this all done. The reform of police agencies during the first part of the 20th century was very slow to develop. In some cities, the impact of early reform efforts was non-existent. Although considerable gains were made in agencies of cities such as Cincinnati and Berkeley, reform efforts were largely ineffective in other agencies, such as those of Los Angeles and Chicago. So efforts to professionalize the police increased after the 1931 report at the Wickersham Commission, which contained vivid descriptions of police misconduct and use of force. The Wickersham Commission report was the first national study of the criminal justice system in America and had significant impact on the revitalization of the reform movement. Before I go any further, so this time period of which they're talking about is also, hold on a second, the timeline of the FBI, which is why I wanted to go over the FBI, because between the FBI and the police, there was a lot of corruption and a lot of excessive force. Do you guys know who Melvin Purvis is?
Vaguely. I recognize the name.
You know
that's
yeah, okay. Melvin Purvis was the one who was part of, who started the FBI. He's also the one who got Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd, and John Dillinger.
Yeah, that's where I
know. Yeah, you know what else is really cool? Yeah, you know what's pretty cool? Because Melvin Purvis is my grandfather's nephew.
Way cool.
My grandfather's grandfather's. Yeah. Yeah. Melvin Purvis was born in 1903. He was in my grandfather's side of the family. Yes. The one and the same. Which is even funnier because Babyface Nelson's on my grandmother's side. I'm like, wow. No wonder we got cops and robbers on both sides of the family. The reason why I brought up Melvin Purvis is because in doing research on him, I was like, there's a lot of movies made about Melvin Purvis. Okay, and here's
really?
The thing. Yeah, a lot of movies have been made. So he was born in 1903 and he died in 1960. He was an American law enforcement official and an FBI agent. He was given the nickname Little Mel because of his short, he's 5'4". I did not know this. Okay, so he became noted for leading on manhunts for captured or killed bank robbers such as Babyface Nelson, John Dillinger, and Pretty Boy Floyd. But his high public profile was... Yeah. But here's the thing. It was what happened with John Dillinger, what got him, okay? His high public profile was resented by local law enforcement. He asserted that he had killed Pretty Boy Floyd single-handedly, which he did not. Yeah. But here's the thing. Have you guys ever seen Chicago PD with John Voight?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, Melvin Purvis was just like John Voight.
Really?
And I did not know this. Yeah. He had the reputation of using very tough methods against recalcitrant interviewees. Roger Toohey, a minor league gangster who was arrested for fundraising kidnappings during his conflicts with the Chicago outfit, alleged he suffered the loss of 25 pounds of body weight and several teeth broken plus broken vertebrae because he had been beaten while in custody by Melvin Purvis. And yeah, he was really rough. And he was beaten every time he fell asleep during weeks of questioning by Purvis's men. He became the FBI's golden boy, having captured more of the designated public enemies than any other agent, but found himself sidelined after he began to enjoy better press than J. Edgar Hoover. And so the, when he was hunting down John Dillinger, he became obsessed because he could not catch him. And what happened was And I'll go more into, because I'll go more into, because we're going to cover the FBI next week. I thought we might as well go ahead and cover all law enforcement. So on February 29th, 1960, he was in his home in Florence, South Carolina, when he died from a gunshot wound to the head. Now, they said that it was self-inflicted.
Yeah, right.
Then they said it was an accident. So
how the fuck did you shoot yourself in the head by accident?
Unless you're doing it in the front of your face. Now, if you're Clinton-sided like everybody else in the back of the head, and you shoot yourself in the back of the head, but there are questions. It's questionable as to his death.
Yeah,
now,
he probably had a lot of enemies.
He did. He had a lot of enemies. But the thing is, they said that was something about once he caught John Dillinger, he kind of went off. He was depressed and all of this shit, which is, it's part of, you know, whatever. So it's questionable as was he suicided or did he commit suicide? I don't know. He supposedly was shot. The shot was fired from the pistol that was given to him by fellow agents when he resigned from the FBI. So, and he was only 56.
Yeah, well, if he was known to take credit, and which the FBI has a tendency to do, even when there were people helping him, I mean, I'm sure when he retired, there were people that were gunning for him.
But here's the thing. Oh, hold on. Also, it was one other thing. So the gun, previous owner, the gun that was given to Melvin Purvis, what they found out it was to be the Prohibition era gangster Gus Winkler. So
nice.
And also, he was in the U.S. Army as an intelligence officer during World War II, and he was a colonel. He also assisted with compiling evidence against Nazi leaders in the Nuremberg trial. I did not know that about him.
That's interesting.
Which is pretty cool. But, yeah. There's the documentary, The Rise and Fall of Melvin Purvis. Let's see. Crime Ways, 18 Months of Mayhem. American Lawmen. He was in that. It was a TV series. The Gangbuster. Let's see. I'm trying to think here. Dale Robertson played quite a few of roles. Anytime, yeah. There was like, I don't know, 10 movies, and Dale Robertson had always played it. Michael Sacks played him in The Private Files of J. Edgar Hoover. The Lady in Red. He was portrayed by Will Patton in the movie Dillinger that was made in 1991. So, yeah, there was quite a few. Oh, and Christian Bale played him in the movie Public Enemy.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. He appeared with Elliot Ness as an agent of the FBI of ideology, the pursuit of later labor activists. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But, I was going to go ahead and go over the FBI stuff next week because might as well. It's all law enforcement. Why not? What the hell? But I'm going to find out. I'm going to do the genealogy completely because my grandfather, they had to be cousins. No, they had to be cousins because my grandfather was born in 1907 and he was born in 1903. Oh, shit. No. Okay, that's all. We only got 10 minutes left.
Bobby! Wake up.
What do you want? What do you want?
Why?
You woke me up.
Yeah, we want
some
of your
sorry.
Take this damn snow. Take this cold. Well, I ain't got no snow. What I got is like 19 degrees weather.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got enough.
Let's see. It is. Hold on a second. Everything just takes really, like, for it's 35. Woohoo! It's warmer at night than it was during the damn day. And that's pathetic. So,
I have a whopping 30.
It's supposed to be 46 tomorrow and then into the 50s for the next week and a half. So, yeah, all this snow will be melted, you know, and gone. I have been cleaning like a mad woman. We've been cleaning like, oh, my God. We neither one of us can breathe right now because we had dusting and freaking dust is flying everywhere. But why not spring clean when it's still winter?
Yeah, just open the windows, let it blow through.
Well, that's what we usually do. That's what we usually do is circulate air.
Yeah, you open the windows and you open the door.
I want to ask you guys a question. In all honesty, this is... Well, there's two questions I want to ask. One will trigger liberals left and right. If your job told you that they were going to install cameras, what would you say?
Install cameras?
Yeah, to watch. What would you say?
Watch me first.
Huh?
Fuck that shit. Hey, wait, you mean I'm going to install cameras to make sure I'm working?
Yeah. A lot of jobs have them for security purposes.
Well, I guess it would depend on the job. I mean, like, if you work at a bank, as a bank teller, you've got cameras on you at all times.
Exactly. But do you see bank tellers having a hissy fit?
No.
Right?
That's not something I would have an issue with. My concern is what kind of software they're using and who all is looking at it. I don't care about
okay.
the camera. If
here's what I'm asking.
My boss.
Here's what I'm asking, and we don't have much time. In Iowa, one of the Republicans wants to put cameras in the classroom so the parents can, via like a Zoom meeting or whatever, they can see what goes on.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Not according to teachers. We don't need to be micromanaged. Well, guess what?
No.
See, and this is what happened. I triggered a whole shit ton of people. I said, who's dying in the background? Wait. Who's hacking up half a lung? Are they okay?
That's Stephanie.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she'll live.
Don't make her call
this is the only concern. This is the only concern for those teachers. Okay. I said, well, first of all, if you weren't trying to indoctrinate the children with your hate mongering and trying to teach them their 57 fucking genders. Okay, you have no business teaching.
I'm pretty sure all teachers don't object.
No, they don't. And that's why I said, if you're not
okay, buddy,
then who cares?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. And all they're concerned with, well, then the parents need to see how their little heathens act. You know what? You're right. Because if the parents saw how their kids were acting like assholes, then yes, let them discipline their children. Okay, but what about bullies, sexual harassment, and things like that. It protects everybody. If you're not doing anything wrong, then why do you care? So they're like, well, I think, and someone tried to say that I need to have a camera on me because I look like I want to incite some insurrection. I said, first of all, you half-wit. I'm a nurse. I don't give a fuck if you want to put a camera on me, a body cam. I do my damn job. And I don't do insurrections. I'm not a fucking liberal, friggin' Antifa little bitch, okay? I have a highly stressful job. I do home health. Let me tell you something.
People are already spying on you. I mean, I have to admit that I really don't give a shit about communism attacking or all that stuff because it's being done already. It doesn't. You know, my concern is who's getting it and what are they using it for.
Oh, and so parents can see the what goes on in the kids' classrooms. There are these preschool teachers who are trying to teach children that they're grooming them to be pedophiles.
Oh, yes,
that's
bullshit. I've seen that.
Yes,
No.
Okay.
I'm not talking about, I'm just talking in general. I agree with you. There should be cameras in classrooms, and not just because of the teachers, but what about when you get those shooters, those school shootings?
Exactly.
Think about it. If you had cameras in all the rooms,
too much like common sense.
I could see where the...
It's too much like common sense. If you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't care. Now, the other question has totally nothing to do with what we're talking about. How many people sleep with a fan on and a blanket in the middle of winter?
I do.
Sometimes I do.
I do.
Right now, sometimes I also will sleep with the window open despite it being 19 degrees. But
no.
Why
do you do it? I do it because of noise. And it'll circulate air. I don't put the fan on me. I put it sideways. I would rather be cold. I'd rather be cold than hot. I can't sleep if I'm hot.
Yep.
That's why I'm sleeping in a camper. They have too damn hot in the house.
I don't
want to
be
left.
Freezing, but I don't
ahead,
like
Bobby.
It when it's too hot.
Go ahead.
Another great show, Kimberly. Thank you so much. Lorna,
no problem.
Maria, thanks for joining us.
Always.
God bless America. God bless our children, our first responders, veterans, military, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.